Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven,
Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time.
And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we ask that you give us an eternal perspective on time. Oh, open our eyes to this and help us, Lord, to be strengthened in our inner spirit and the inner man to really receive this, Lord, and see things the way that you see things. Help us to be set free. Boy, Lord, help us, Jesus, to be set free from the concept of time as it is for the flesh. And we bind every spirit that would come against us in the authority of Jesus' name. And we ask all these prayers of you, Father, your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Time. I'll start here. I remember one of the first trials that I really went through. It was extremely painful. I was in a very bad situation, and the Lord told me very clearly that he would take me out of that situation. He was going to deliver me out of it. And that he wanted me to look at the situation that I was in. He sort of pulled me back, like, I don't know if you remember this in like grade school, where they'd make you have you make a timeline, like a history timeline. But it was kind of like that. He pulled me back into the spirit and had me look at my life as a timeline. And he said, okay, you are right now at point A, and this is what's going on. I know it's hard and it's painful, but I want you to pull back into me and take a look at this differently. And I want you to look at the timeline. I want just you to draw a line, go straight through, follow it through to point B. I'm going to take you to point B. And the key to getting through this is just being with me and allowing my spirit to remove you. From this timeline and pull back and look at it differently and just watch the timeline pass from A to B, and you'll be at B before you know it. And the Lord is faithful. He is very good, because everything, like it says in Joshua, not one word that he said to me about what he was going to do with my life failed to come to pass. Everything that he told me he was going to do, he did. Took me right to point B, and it was, before I knew it, it actually, looking back, happened much faster than I realized. Because what he was telling me to do, I understand this because I was still very young in the faith, was he was telling me to walk in the spirit, to sit in my heavenly seat and just wait it out and watch it unfold and pass. I didn't know that at the time, but that's what he was doing. He was pulling me out of the present, bringing me into a place of the spirit, and then having me just watch it all unfold and his hand move. And the scripture that he used during this time was, "Be still and know that I am God," right? He says, "I will be exalted amongst the heathen." That's what he was telling me. He's like, just wait on me. Just pull back. Right? Pull out of the here and now and just wait. Sit with me and just watch and let this all unfold. Okay? He's like, "I got it. I'll take care of you." And because it was a difficult place that I was in. And later on, I remember, after he did remove me from that situation, I remember sitting one day on my couch, and all of a sudden it hit me. Holy Spirit just dropped like this reality into my soul, made it real, because we know it's true from scripture, but all of a sudden it became real that I was going to live forever. I remember sitting there and my mind just being blown, because all of a sudden eternity became real. Let me make this clear. We have to finish this race, okay? But as I was sitting there, the Holy Spirit just revealed, because the Holy Spirit's eternal. He's not dying. He's not going anywhere. He's not subject to the confines of time and flesh, okay, the way that the natural man is. He just revealed that to me. Eternity, eternal life. I finish this race, right? I keep going until my heart stops beating. Okay, stay on the narrow path all the way through until the end. But that being said, that being done, right? Not quitting. I live forever. All of a sudden, death was no longer real to me. And I remember just about 2 seconds later, I thought, oh my gosh, I better start getting ready. That's a big deal. I want to start storing up. I want to start preparing right now. How can I obtain riches for eternity? And this understanding, this eternal perspective, Scripture says that the devil comes down, I think it's Revelation 12, right? He comes down with great wrath, knowing that his time is short. Oh, praise God. You see, he's got a timer on him. Oh, he's condemned and he's judged, right? This flesh is condemned. Not us, not the spirit, not the inner man, right? Like Scripture says, we're sealed with the Holy Ghost for the day of redemption, but our flesh will perish. It's condemned, it's judged. Right? Two separate things. And I remember before I got saved, I used to always have this constant feeling of anxiety. And I hated it. It was like, you're turning 22 years old, you're turning 23, you're turning, you know, each birthday, oh my gosh, I'm getting old, my life is almost over, I better do something with myself. Right? I hated that feeling. It was so stressful. It was like, I had no idea what I was supposed to do because I wasn't saved yet. But I just knew I had to do something because I'm going to die soon. And, you know, it was like, just the reality of time in the flesh, right? It's very stressful. It's very stressful. But after I got saved, that was gone. I was free from that. The only revelation that mattered at that point is, how can I prepare for eternity? Totally different. Totally different mindset. And the thing is that as we walk in the Spirit, right, and he's eternal, and he brings us to this place of eternal mindset, suffering is different, hardship is different, enduring trials is different. Because time is different with God. See, time is, when we look at the Scriptures, it's more of a processing. It's more of a tool to process things. God is amazing. See, he doesn't look at time the way that we do, because he's eternal. The Holy Spirit doesn't look at time the way that we do, because he's eternal. See, he's not subject and confined to these ideas of time the way that the flesh is, and Satan and the kingdom of darkness. See, they're all judged. So they're always freaking out. They're always stressed out. They're always just in a hurry, and everything is about now, because they know before long it's over. It's over. See, in their end is destruction. They're headed to perdition, Scripture says. So they're stressed. See, we're headed towards eternal life, so it's different. We still, Scripture says, Psalm 90, we number our days, right? But it's different. The way that we number our days is because we realize that we've got a short period to prepare for all of eternity. It's a joyful thing. It's a good thing. It's not a fearful thing. So, see, with the Lord, when we look at Scripture and we walk in the Spirit, he sees time as processing. And when we receive this, we have a revelation of eternity, and that's why I just pray so often, and I know that so many of my sisters in the body of Christ, brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, are praying for the church here in the United States. It's because we get robbed of this when we walk in a carnal mindset, coveting things of the world, desiring things of the world. All this prosperity junk, it robs God's people of their freedom and their mind and their soul. Because time, in a carnal perspective, is a nightmare. It's stressful. It's part of the reason why people freak out and quit trials so easily. Because they don't understand it's just temporary. Not only is it just temporary, it's a temporary period of processing. So God's always talking about cycles and the harvest, right? The Lord talks about this. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, right? It talks about a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to build up, time to break down. It's just all about processing. See, when I was in that trial, what I didn't understand was the Lord was going to take care of me. He had plans. I just needed to keep being faithful, resisting temptation, and I was going to be fine. Okay. But the people around me at that time, he was doing something with. My soul, he was doing something with. He was changing and working things like a magnificent artist. Okay. I couldn't see this because I was, I guess, blind probably at the time to this. Maybe it was too much for me to handle. But he was dealing with people. He was using me, both changing me and others, to bring about a mighty work. We see this when he talks to Abraham. He says, Abraham, listen, I'm gonna make you a great nation. I'm gonna give you this seed and your offspring. They're gonna go into captivity for about 400 years. Meantime, I'm waiting for the wickedness of the Canaanites to boil over. See, he already knew that the Canaanites were handed over wholeheartedly to devil worship. And he knew he was gonna take Israel out and use them to judge Canaan. But he wasn't going to remove Israel until the wickedness of Canaan was boiled over, like a boiling pot. You know, you put it on, it takes a while to get hot, bubbles come up, and then boom, it's just boiling over. That's what he was doing with the wickedness of Canaan. He wanted it to boil over. And then when that point came, he was going to send Israel in to judge them and deal with them. Because he already knew they weren't going to repent. He already knew there was only one that was going to repent. Her name was Rahab, right? And her family was going to come out. But the rest of them, he knew that they were wholeheartedly given over to child sacrifice, demon worship, all types of stuff, right? But meanwhile, what's happening? Israel's suffering, crying out to him. He knows he's going to answer them, but he's letting a process take place. He's also letting them be humbled and small, because scripture says that Moses said that he picked Israel because they were the smallest, right? They couldn't glory in themselves. They were a bunch of slaves. Amen? Nothing. The mighty hand of God that pulled them out of Egypt. So this is how the Lord looks at time. We see things also the same in the book of Revelation. I think it's either, is it the fifth seal, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Blood of the martyrs. God's people are being killed. They cry out to God, how long, O Lord, how long will you not judge those who shed our blood on the earth? Right? And he gives them white robes. He says, wait a little longer. Because your brothers and sisters are going to join you. This is us, Kate. Be aware. It's happening right now. The Middle East will become global. We're going to join our brothers and sisters. This is how long. Give them white robes, wait a little longer. There's still more processing to be done. There's still more work to be done. Let it be finished and complete. Because when this is all done, you and your fellow martyrs are going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection, scripture says, right? Revelation. It's either chapter 19 or 20, put the scripture in the bottom, but he talks about this, right? So when we see things this way and we understand that we I specify, after we finish the race, right, we don't quit, okay? Gotta keep going until the very end, and he that endureth until then will be saved. But having that mindset, and cleaving to the Lord with all our mind, body, and soul, and keep going all the way until then, we live forever. We live forever. So when we're in a place of suffering, when we're in a place of trials and hardship, it's different. It's different. We're not caught up in the here and now. We're watching a process unfold. And if God so decides, and we can ask him, he'll explain to us what's going on. He did this with Abraham. He said, should I talk to Abraham about what I'm going to do in Sodom? So he did. He broke down his whole plan to Abraham about what he was going to do with Sodom. God willing, it depends on what his will is for us, but sometimes he'll do this. Sometimes he'll say, listen, I've got you here because I'm doing this with you. You need this changed within you. I'm processing this in you. I'm changing this in you. Or I'm using you as a testimony for others. There's someone watching you right now. So keep at it. Keep going. You don't know this, but as you're suffering, maybe your family's watching. Maybe that person you've been praying for to get saved is watching, and you don't really know because they're not saying anything, but maybe they're watching, and you're bringing them that much closer to Christ, that much closer to eternity. We don't know, but we can ask. The Lord sees fit. Sometimes it depends on where we are in our walk with the Lord. He may say, I just need you to have faith. Other times he could explain to us that there's a lot more going on than we see. Hang on. Hang on. But we must always know that Satan will come around desiring to bring about a shortcut, appealing to our flesh, because our flesh is freaking out. It is very much caught up in the here. Now, that's why, you know, fasting is so important. Jesus didn't say if you fast. He says when you fast, right? Sermon. Explaining to people. Same thing. When the bridegroom is taken away, he says to the Pharisees, then, you know, bride of Christ will fast. We need to fast as part of our walk. I'm not trying to tell you how, when, what to do. Let that be led of the Spirit, but it's important in our walk because this is what fasting does, is the flesh freaks out, I'm hungry, I want, give me that, give me this, or maybe you just fast something like a candy bar, whatever it is, right? And you're saying, you're going to have it, but over there. Once the timeline passes, you're going to have it, but it's going to be down the line a little bit, just not right now. Just not this very moment, because the Holy Spirit calls the shots. But see, this is what happens with Israel. See, Moses goes up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, right? He's up there. And Israel says, well, we don't know what happened to Moses, right? No faith. So we'll make our own gods. There was Satan saying, hey, can you really keep waiting for him to come down with the word from God? I don't think so. Let's make your own gods, right? According to the flesh, according to the kingdom of darkness. Okay? And then Moses came down. Scripture says they rose to eat and play, and they were judged for that, right? They were judged for that. Satan always comes around when you're waiting to have this delivered from God, the end, while you're waiting for the Lord to take you from point A to point B, he always goes, well, how about option C? Let's take the shortcut, right? You can't really keep waiting this long. Are you really sure you're going to go to point B? He's always there with a shortcut. That's what the golden calf was. At the bottom of Mount Sinai is a shortcut. Don't wait for Moses to come back, right? Here are your gods, O Israel. Let's just make them now. Because, see, Satan understands how our flesh works. Our flesh is freaking out. He's freaking out. Whole kingdom of darkness freaking out. Why? Because Scripture says their time is short. Very short. We see this timeline at the end. 3.5 years, 1,335 days, 1,260 days, right? All these numbers in the book of Revelation. They're short. Doesn't sound like it, right? But when you compare 1,335 days to eternity, or let's take it to even shorter time, even 1,000 years, right? It says that they will reign and rule those who were beheaded that would not take the mark of the beast. Not really. It's a drop in the bucket, right? But we have to be walking in the Spirit to see this. And our Lord and Savior will help us walk in the Spirit and have a renewed mind to see things this way, to when we're in a situation that is not good. And the Lord is saying, hang on to point B. You're at point A, we're going to go to point B. Just sit with me here, your heavenly seat, and watch it unfold. It's easier the more he takes us through these little trials. Because we see what point B looks like. And after we've seen what point B looks like, all of a sudden, the golden calf that Satan tries to pop up with, right? The shortcut, it's looking like garbage. Because you've seen what God can do. And if you haven't seen what God can do, hang on. This is my testimony. It'll blow your mind. Scripture says, I have not seen, no ear heard, what God has planned for his people. And I've seen this just here. I'm not talking about heaven yet. I'm talking about here when I've stood fast and says, I'll make you a pillar in the temple of my God. Right? What does a pillar do? It stands firm. It doesn't move. It's a structural foundation, right? When you hold fast by faith, seeing time is just a matter of processing material. It's just something that God uses to get things done. And you're sitting there with him in your heavenly seat just watching things unfold. And then eventually, boom, before you know it, you're at point B. When you've withstood this trial in your life and you've seen it, so many Christians it's here in the United States, that's the struggle, is just getting them to at least just withstand one trial faithfully and watch the deliverance. He says, see the salvation of the Lord, Moses says to his people, right? He says to the Israelites. It's like you're sitting there and you're going, if you could just hold out for one, because a lot of times, to be honest with you, so many believers, they just haven't even endured one trial. They just keep quitting. I'm like, if you could just hang on and just do one, I tell you, it'd get so much easier after that because you'd see how good it is, the salvation of the Lord. Just taste and see. But they haven't seen because they keep quitting. And I'm like, if you could just get one, just hang in there. God will do it for you. It's by his grace and his power that he does it. If you could just hang in there, you just get one and you're going to be hooked. You're going to be hooked. You're going to be hooked. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, when God comes through, boy, does he come through. And you won't take any counterfeits anymore. Those golden calves, oh my goodness, they're fool's gold. And you're going to see it. You're going to be like, whoa, why would I want that when I could have this? Whew, it's good. And he's doing this with God's people. He's calling them out of his apostate, lukewarm church, and he's saying, hey, get boiling hot for me. Get fired up and stand firm, unmovable, unshakable, rock solid in faith to where you will not be moved because your feet are firmly planted in the ground by faith. wants to bring us to this place. Unshakable, unmovable, that's what Hebrews says. Things that shake are temporary, but things that do not move are eternal. Coming into an eternal place, not flinching at time, because you understand it's fake and it's only for the condemned. Amen? Because we're saved by the blood of Christ Jesus. And you look at it and you say, oh death, where is thou sting? So you look at things, you look at your trials differently, and you say, you know what? I don't shake. I don't move. I don't falter. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what shakes, the things that are condemned and subject to death. But not me, because I'm covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. So, I sit here in faith, sitting in my heavenly seat, just waiting for God's timing to unfold. And when he decides that this trial is over and his processing is done, whatever magnificent and glorious work that my God does is finished, well then, I'll just thankfully and humbly receive the reward he has for those of his that finish the race. These little mini races in our lives, these little mini trials, right? And then the big one. That's coming, right? The Antichrist system. And then finally home, right? Promised land. Zion.
Okay, Father, we ask that you look down upon us with a pitiful heart and with mercy, and that you open our eyes and give us a revelation of eternity. Help us to truly see ourselves as pilgrims, like it says in Hebrews, just traveling through this world until we get home. Help us to see time the way that you see it, to let go, to cleave to you. And if anybody's listening and they're not born again, ask that. And just pray that you will take a leap of faith and receive salvation through what Jesus did on the cross. Ask all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 57. To the chief musician, Altasketh, Miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among the lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth.